Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. The Saint was a radio show loosely based on the novels by Leslie Charteris. Here's Michael Mokey O'Reilly as ART's Simon Templar as the Saint.
American Radio Theater presents a lost episode of The Saint, The Case of the Wrong Car.
Ah, Mr. Templar, you'll be wanting your car now.
You're a mind reader, doorman.
Ah, thank you. Hey, Pete, Mr. Templar's car, the green convertible.
Right away, sir.
Had a nice dinner, Mr. Templar?
Fine dinner. Almost adjustable. Well, I must be a wit.
There's your car, sir.
So it is. Thought I'd let the top up, though, to keep the fog out.
Well, the fog isn't very bad, sir.
No, almost dry. Well, ta-ta.
Good evening, Mr. Templar. Ah, fine man, Mr. Templar.
Yeah, one of the best. How much did he tip you?
Doorman?
Yes, sir?
My car.
Yes, it was a...
green convertible.
Of course. I remember noticing how similar it was. Pete, this gentleman's car. Green convertible.
Coming right up.
Had a nice dinner, sir? There it is, sir. Exactly like...
Wait a minute. That's not my car.
Not your car, but it's a green convertible Cadillac, sir.
Maybe you never noticed, but they make more than one of those. That's not my car. The license plate, you half-witted oaf.
Oh. Then it... It must be Mr. Templar's car.
I don't care whose car it is. Where's mine?
I'm afraid, sir, that Mr. Templar has your car.
You gave somebody else my car?
Well, it was exactly like yours. I mean, his. I mean...
How long ago did he leave?
Just a couple of minutes.
Oh, it's dark. I'll never find him at this point.
Well, sir, if we notified the police, they'd be...
Are you trying to be funny?
Well, why, no.
I don't want the police notified. Got that straight?
Yes, sir.
I'll take this car. Oh, what's Templar's address?
4917 Roadside Drive, sir. He's a regular customer of the inn.
4917 Roadside Drive. Okay.
And your name, sir, in case Mr. Templar should notice the error and want to get in touch with you?
My name's Brenner, and I'll be getting in touch with him. But I'd give $1,000 if I knew what Mr. Templar was doing right now.
We're in trouble now.
Yes, and I'm going to tell the boss it's all your fault.
Gee, thanks.
Hi. Hi there. Stop, will you?
Madam, I may be no Caruso, but you're too pretty to be a music critic.
Open the car door, will you?
Of course.
That's better. All right, straight ahead.
Straight ahead.
You almost drove right past me.
An incredible oversight, considering that you are you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're almost at Olive and Northwestern.
A true fact.
So I'd better get out.
So short a visit. You don't like Olive and Northwestern? Let's go to Olive and Northeastern, or like me, do you prefer an old-fashioned without fruit? I would be delighted to buy you one.
Oh, you're cute, but not tonight.
May I be cute tomorrow night?
We'll see, but first, I'll leave this here.
A piggy bank?
The piggy bank on the seat. Now, stop.
If you insist.
Don't forget, you stop at Olive and Northwestern.
Do I?
Of course. Goodbye now.
Hold on. I'd much rather have you in the car than the piggy bank. After all, piggy banks are so stuffy.
Terribly cute.
Oh, well... My dear pig, let us see what we pick up at Olive and Northwestern,
Okay, pal, step on the little pedal, huh?
By all means. Although your predecessor was more attractive.
Huh?
Forgive my broken English, but who are you?
The fiddler.
Where's your fiddle?
A card, huh?
At the moment, a completely blank one. What can I do for you? Or are you bringing me another piggy bank so the one on the seat near you won't be lonely?
Nah, I'm not bringing you a piggy bank. I'm taking this one. Let me see. Yeah.
This seems unfair. Don't I get anything?
You're getting this here envelope.
A very fat envelope.
Which I am placing in the glove compartment.
You know, all this is beginning to fascinate me. Makes absolutely no sense.
Like I always say, take care of the bills and cents will take care of themselves.
If you go around always saying that, I am surprised that no one killed you long ago.
Nobody kills the fiddler.
I see. Probably would violate some local ordinance.
I get out here.
I won't dispute the point.
Well, it's been nice knowing you.
I wish I could say the same.
But like I always say...
Make tonight an exception. Don't say it.
Here today and gone tomorrow.
You know, that's quite an interesting phrase. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it caught on. What am I supposed to do now?
What your conscience tells you.
But I don't have her phone number.
Over to the curb, please.
What? Oh, very well. California is full of music critics tonight.
I'll get in now.
Or music lovers. By all means, sir. Rather a tight fit.
Let us ignore my book. I'm sensitive about it.
Sorry.
Where's Brenner?
What is a Brenner?
A wag. Drives straight down the street.
Of course. Of course. But your cab, the one you overtook me in?
It's been paid off.
Good. Otherwise, I might toss all night worrying about the poor cab driver.
You needn't bother. Everything's in order?
I would say offhand that it is. Of course, I suspect the beginning of a cavity in one of my molars. But otherwise...
Stop kidding. Where is it?
My dear sir, I never kid. No matter how extreme the provocation. Stems from an experience in early childhood when... You're not really interested in my early childhood.
I'm not. Where is it?
You might be referring to one of several things. The blonde, for example.
Loretta, I am not referring to her.
Family man, eh? Then perhaps the piggy bank.
I'm beginning to lose the scant patience nature endowed me with... The envelope.
Glove compartment.
Ah.
But don't reach for it.
What?
I don't mind being baffled, but I want to wind up with something. I started out with Loretta, lost her for a piggy bank, acquired an unwholesome-looking companion in the fiddler, and gladly gave him up for a fat envelope. But that envelope, Mr...
Hunt, as you very well know...
That envelope, Mr. Hunt, now represents my all, and frankly, I am reluctant to part with it.
Would this decrease your reluctance?
Is it loaded?
Personally.
It decreases my reluctance.
Thank you. Ah.
Farewell, envelope. Ah, well, I never really cared for it. What now, Mr. Hunt?
My home.
Which is where?
Brenner obviously selected an idiot for a substitute.
You're too kind.
I shall have words with him about this. I gave him the assignment.
Give me his address, and I'll have words with him, too. Or give me Loretta's address and I'll have tea with her.
Tea? Well, let's get going. My address is 1456 Larchmont Terrace.
A pleasant neighborhood. Larchmont Terrace it is, then. And for heaven's sake, Mr. Hunt, don't turn into a piggy bank or the fiddler before we get there. If you do, I shall have to part with old fashions, or at least with the fruit in them.
Sir?
Yes?
We're being followed.
The piggy bank on our trail or Loretta?
A car, I don't know. I suggest more speed.
You sound worried.
More speed, I said.
Very well. Strange. The car doesn't respond very well. Needs a carbon job by the feel of it, and yet I had the carbon cleaned 2 days ago. To borrow one of your phrases, I shall have words with my garage.
They're overtaking us.
Relax. Probably some of the Hooper people want to know what radio program we're listening to. Let's stop and give some worthy program a break.
You idiot. This is a lonely stretch of road.
You exaggerate. We're only a block from Sunset.
It might as well be a mile. They're on us, cutting us off.
Hi, I'm Ivan Curry, and you may remember my voice saying, "Hold the phone, hold the phone, it's time for Henry Public Energy Number 1. Or maybe you remember me as Bobby Benson of the B-Bar B Riders. Well, if you're hungry for some stories that make you feel good, that can snatch you away and take you to someplace new and exciting, then American Radio Theater might just be your cup of tea. They give a new voice to lost shows from the radio days of the 1940s and 50s, and they also perform new programs ranging from adaptations of classic stories like Rudyard Kipling's Kim and Rostand's Cyrano de Bergerac to a new series, Chang Upon Her, about the real-life Charlie Chan. You can catch the podcast at their website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org/podcasts. Stop by and have a listen. You'll be glad you did.
Dreadful accident.
Yeah, I seen it from down the block.
And I, madam, was right beside the cars when they crashed.
One of them pulled out fast.
Oh, no.
Funny, I thought I noticed two guys in a convertible. Only one guy laying there now. You look like the other guy.
Nonsense. The other man was in the convertible. I'm not...
You could have been thrown clear, or you could have jumped.
How very true. Good Lord.
Huh?
The license plate on that car. It's the wrong license plate.
Huh?
Or more likely, it's the wrong car, which would explain a great many things.
What are you talking about, mister?
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Of piggy banks and fiddlers. Let's go proffer first aid to that fat gentleman.
He's beyond any aid. Head crushed in.
Possibly, or... possibly afterwards. Identification. Breast pocket. Wallets. It's an ends, no fat envelope.
Hey, I'm beginning to think that...
For heaven's sake, don't. People who think get headaches and things. Goodbye, I must be off.
Hey, what's your hurry?
Those sirens, I'm allergic to them. Break out in a cold sweat every time I hear them. Goodbye, and remember, you may be the innocent bystander, and of course, we all know what happens to them, don't we?
You.
Oh, dear. What a welcome home.
You, Templar?
If I'm not, I've been grossly deceived.
Where's my car?
Ah. You would be Mr. Brenner.
Where's my car?
Oh, stop pointing that gun at me. It only irritates me.
It could kill you.
I doubt it. I'm not in the mood. Where's my car?
Parked around the side of the house.
Thank you. As for your car...
Yeah?
The unnecessarily fat Mr. Hunt is more or less in possession of it, I should think.
Hunt's got it?
Hunt got it.
Huh?
I said yes.
Okay, but mister, if I find out you've been lying...
You'll expose me to the world and I shall be forced to resign from the Boy Scouts. Good night, Mr. Brenner.
Yeah. And brother, if Hunt hasn't got the car, you better make preparations for another world.
Nonsense. I like this one.
For how long, Mr. Templar?
Figaro, Figaro, Figaro. Blast. All right, I shall give up my career as another Caruso. Who? Oh.
Let me in.
Let you in? My dear, if I'd known you were coming, the big red carpet would have been rolled out. A gypsy orchestra would be wildly playing in the background. The roses would be blooming and... Do come in.
Your name is Templar.
Simon to you.
I want my piggy bank.
And by gad, you shall have it. If I had it.
You must have it.
No. The fiddler has it.
Oh.
By the way, why is he called the fiddler?
Oh, he's crazy about fiddles. You gave him the piggy bank
before what?
Before you got back here.
I'm afraid so.
Then where's the envelope he gave you?
Mr. Hunt wanted it.
He got it?
Mr. Hunt was quite pressing. Pressing, I might add, with the point of a revolver in my fifth, or was it sixth rib?
He got it. Darn!
Tell me all about it and we can do our darning together.
Goodbye.
Where are you going?
To see Mr. Hunt and tell him exactly what I think of him.
Under all the circumstances, that would be something worth hearing. I'll go with you.
I don't care if you do.
A warm acceptance of my offer. Come along, and why are you so angry with Mr. Hunt?
He was supposed to meet me. He didn't. I thought maybe something had gone wrong. Maybe you still had the piggy. But nothing went wrong.
Well, that perhaps is a fairly conservative statement.
Dear fat Mr. Hunt is either going to come across or I personally will see that his fat soul fries in...
Loretta, my dear, hush. You may be speaking more accurately than you realize. Well, we're almost at Hunt's house. Loretta, what was in the piggy bank? Loretta, what was in that envelope? Nice weather we're not having.
Simon, stop.
Hmm?
That's Hunt's house up ahead.
Uh-huh. I like to say uh-huh. Gives me an intellectual feeling.
What's that police car doing in front of Hunt's house?
Dunno. Might be a cop trying to sell Hunt tickets to the next policeman's ball.
Or it might be something else. Let's get out of here.
Very well.
Hey!
Ah! The loud Mr. Brenner.
Let me in.
Certainly. Mr. Brenner, you've been lurking.
Never mind what I did. The cops are thicker than flies around Hunt's place.
We noticed that.
They're looking for the guy who knocked off Hunt. Shut up.
Don't be rude, Brenner. She was gasping. That was to prove she's innocent of Hunt's death.
Where is my car?
Isn't this car...
This car is mine. It resembles very closely Mr. Brenner's car. Mr. Brenner was the gentleman you were supposed to leave the piggy bank with.
Yeah, you got in on this by mistake, Templar. But I don't think knocking off Hunt was a mistake on your part. What did you do with the envelope you took off of him?
I wouldn't take an envelope off of anybody.
Why not?
It isn't grammatical.
All right, wise guy. Where is it?
You know, there are times when I'd like to have a few words with Mr. Colt. If he hadn't manufactured so many of his ingenious little engines, people wouldn't be pointing them at me.
I want the envelope.
Loretta, you...
A ringer. And I think maybe Brenner's right.
You mean... You don't believe in me either.
Where's the envelope?
Brenner stole it from Hunt's house.
That's a lie. I was never in the dump.
Oh, well, I tried.
Hand it over, Templar.
Aren't you going to say, or else? It is customary.
You're asking for bullets, mister.
Nonsense. I'm alone with a pair of you in this car. I can't possibly deprive you of the revolver, so would anybody care for a little nut burger?
Look out! You're going to run into that driver!
The guy's nuts!
Nuts about nut burgers! Loretta, must you... Brenner, please stay.
Hey, mister.
Hello.
You have got a knife riding right into the window.
Perhaps I have, but it doesn't compare with what you have in that fetching uniform. And I was hungry.
Oh, well. Oh, that window is getting awful dirty anyway. Well, what'll it be, mister?
A nut burger, please.
Sure. Them two that was in the car with you. They ran away. Hey, what's the matter? Don't they like nut burgers?
Hello.
Huh? Oh, you.
Don't take it so matter-of-factly. I've been in 17 nightclubs looking for you, Fiddler.
So now you found me. Goodbye.
So now I found you. Hello. Yes, I will sit down. Fiddler, you have the unhappy appearance of a man who's lost something.
Yeah?
Yes, and if things are running true to form, Fiddler lost a piggy bank recently.
So what?
So alas.
Don't worry. I know who swiped it off of me.
Who?
So I should tell you, so you should swipe it yourself.
So I don't like piggy banks. Fiddler, what are you going to do about the piggy bank?
I am going to get it back, and I'm going to take care of the person who swiped it.
You might run into more trouble than you think.
The fiddler can take care of himself, see? Like I always say.
Here today and gone tomorrow.
Don't get so morbid. I am getting out of here. Goodbye.
Fiddler.
Yeah?
You better be careful.
Yeah, somebody else better be careful. Goodbye.
Ah, no! No!
Hello, ye Tiny Tots toy shoppy. I want a piggy bank. Piggy bank. No, I'm not talking baby talk. About 10 inches long, 5 inches high, and pink mainly. Oh, yes, and a little blue tail painted on. What? I think it curls to the right. You have one like that. Splendid. I will be right down for it. What? No, I don't want it for a tot. I want it for a murderer.
Oh.
Oh. May I come in?
No.
My dear Loretta, I promise you I'll be a perfect gentleman.
No.
Then I'll promise you I won't be a gentleman at all.
No.
Oh, well, then I'll take Junior away with me.
The piggy bank?
Yes.
Come in.
Thank you. There must be something about that pig.
Excuse me for a second.
No, my dear, you're going for a gun.
I want that piggy bank.
I didn't buy him for you.
Buy him?
At the Tiny Tots toy shoppy.
Oh, you're a comic.
At last, my true character has been revealed.
I want that bank.
Why?
Because.
Hello.
Ah, Mr. Brenner. As I always say, in the memory of the dear departed fiddler, if the Loretta comes, can't Brenner be far behind? Shelley.
Did you say dear departed fiddler?
Yes. Poor chap's dead. Thoughtless of him, but I warned him.
I don't like that.
Neither did Fiddler, I suspect.
Loretta.
I didn't.
Let's talk of more pleasant things. Mr. Brenner, have you noticed the piggy bank clutched in my hot little hand?
I ain't interested. I'm more interested in who knocked off Fiddler.
I don't like the way you're looking at me.
I don't like what I'm thinking about you.
All right, I've got a gun now, too, and it's on you, Brenner. Drop it.
Okay.
Charming. The tables are reversed. Odd saying, what table?
Give me that bank, Templar.
Templar? Such formality. Tsk, tsk. Before I do, Loretta, allow me to clear away a little mental fog. What has happened, so to speak, intrigues me. Through an unfortunate accident, due to the fact that modern cars all resemble each other, I became involved in this little affair. Originally, however, it concerned the Fat Man Hunt, the Fiddler, Brenner here, and yourself.
I know all that.
But do I? I continue. Obviously a pack of thieves. The central figure in the case, the piggy bank that rattled. With what in it? Pennies? No. Jewels? Ah, very fine idea. Hunt and yourself, Loretta, were jewel thieves. The Fiddler, obviously a man you were selling the jewels to, a fence, in other words. But in order to avoid being seen together, Mr. Hunt hired Brenner here to act as go-between. To get the bank from you, Loretta, turn it over to the Fiddler, who would give the money in a fat envelope to Brenner, who then would turn the envelope over to Hunt. But something went wrong. Somebody killed Hunt and took the envelope. Somebody then stole the piggy bank back from the Fiddler and killed him. All clear and your piggy bank, my dear.
Thank you, sir. Just make sure that...
My, how brutally you broke little piggy.
Wait a minute, Templar. This thing is filled with pebbles.
Yeah, and you turned your head, so... So now I got the gun.
Templar, you're a crook!
My dear Loretta, that coming from you is an unfortunate epithet.
I am getting tired of this. She knocked off Hunt and the Fiddler, Templar?
Well, certainly.
Okay, you throw her to the cops.
Won't you stay for the pleasant ceremony?
The cops and me don't get along good together.
Ah, a valid point. But you'd better lend me the gun, Brenner. I don't trust little Loretta.
Okay, here.
Now to reverse the handy little gadget.
Hey, what are you doing?
The better to conk you with.
Oh!
You knocked him out.
You're a very observant girl.
But why?
Because, my dear, he murdered Hunt and the Fiddler. For heaven's sake, I didn't really confuse you, did I?
Oh.
And persuade you had done it? Fine roast beef.
Simon, you're wonderful.
In a mild sort of way.
How did you ever figure it out?
Two things. One, Brenner knew Hunt had been murdered before the matter was public property. Only legitimate way he could have known it was to visit Hunt and be informed by the police. But he assured me himself that he had never been in Hunt's place.
And the other thing?
Whoever killed the fiddler had stolen the real piggy bank with the jewels in it. Therefore, that someone would not be interested in the piggy bank I bought at the Tiny Tot Shoppy. You were interested.
Which meant I hadn't killed the fiddler, and that left Brenner. Simon, you're wonderful.
My dear, as the late and highly unlamented fiddler might always have said, there is a time and place for all things. The time I should judge is right, but the place, no. Therefore...
Yes, Simon?
Leave us, and I quote, get out of here.
You've been listening to a recreation of a lost radio show by the American Radio Theater. We presented The Saint in The Case of the Wrong Car. Produced and directed by Joy Jackson. Leslie Charteris wrote the novels detailing the stories of The Saint. Simon Templar was a thief known as The Saint because of his initials, ST, and because his heroic exploits flew in the face of an otherwise nefarious reputation. The radio series called him the Robin Hood of modern crime, and he ran on NBC in 1945 and CBS from 1945 to 1951. Vincent Price was the best-known saint and starred on the CBS series from 1947 to 1951. He later took the role to television. In our cast, you heard Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Simon Templar, with Connie Champlin as Loretta, Dave Leese as Pete, Ken Leese as the fiddler, Marge Lutton as the bystander, Melinda Maines as the carhop, Greg Porter as Brenner, and Dan Schindler as the doorman. Sound effects by Marilyn Wilt and Liz Roach. I'm Pat McNally, whom you also heard as Hunt. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
We'll get back to the show in just a minute. But first, a few words from ART. Hi, I'm Uncle Fletcher. You know, there were some great stories that were told in the radio days of the 1940s and 1950s. We look for those stories that have lost their broadcast voice to give them a new life. In addition, we encourage new writers of audio drama by providing a way to hear their imagination. We use the veteran techniques from the days of old-time radio and blend them in with modern technology. We're pretty passionate about our quality and content of our stories. You'll find our shows on our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org. And now, back to treasures old and new from ART.
Let's step back to May 13, 1946, and listen to the Connie Boswell Show.
Eversharp, world's leading manufacturer of fountain pens, repeater pencils, lead, and desk sets, producers of the new Eversharp CA and Eversharp Schick injector razors and blades, present from the Eversharp Schick Playhouse to you, the Eversharp Schick Varieties with Connie Boswell.
The crowd sees me out dancing, carefree and romancing.
Genial Jan Murray.
I got a middle name too, but I can't think of it.
Headlines with Ted Husing.
And my guest Earl Sandy picking the winner of the Belmont Stakes.
Jovial Joe Besser.
Don't rush me!
Our young singing discovery, Bobby Doyle.
Temptation.
Ray Block, his orchestra and choir.
Cheer, 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 cheer.
And the musical review of Jerome Kern's Showboat. All brought to you by Eversharp Schick Injector Razors and Blades. The curtain rises and our show opens with our lovely singing star, Connie Boswell.
I drove a herd of cattle down from old New Brathaway. That's how I've come to be in the state of Iowa. Now I met a gal in Iowa. City Sue. Sioux City Sue. Your hair is red and your eyes are blue. I swap my horse and my dog for you. Sioux City Sue. My Sioux City Sue. There ain't no gal as true as my sweet Sioux City Sue.
I asked her if she had a beau. She said yes, quite a few.
But till I started courting my sweet Sioux City Sue.
The first time that I stole a kiss, I caught her stealing too.
I asked her, did she love me? Now she said, indeed I do. Oh, Sioux City Sue.
That was Sioux City Sue, sung by Jan Murray.
Aren't you a little mixed up, Jan? The name is Connie Boswell.
Oh, excuse me. That was Connie Boswell, sung by Sioux City Sue.
No, not quite right.
Sioux City Boswell?
No.
Basili Sudi? Sally Malahudi?
No. Let's drop the whole thing.
Okay. A noisy little number, wasn't it?
Oh, Jan, you're impossible.
No, just improbable.
Well, if you'll give me 8-3, I'll bet you don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, Connie, I never gamble with women anymore. Not after this afternoon. This afternoon I played poker with 6 women. Man, did you ever play poker with 6 women? It's murder. Anything could happen. In the middle of one game, a woman dropped dead. Another woman screamed, my God, she's dead. What do we do? The third woman said, let's take out the 2s and 3s. Have their own system. You can't win. First pot, I bet, woman raised, I re-raised, she re-raised, I re-raised. She said, I called you. What have you got? I said, 4 aces. She said, what's your next highest card? Then they play a little game called low card in the whole wild. Yipe! One pot, I had 8 kings. I lost. A woman had 32 jacks. Twice I had a royal flush. I was afraid to chip. The last pot was a beaut. I bet woman raised. I re-raised. She re-raised. I re-raised. Said, I called you. What have you got? I said, queen. She said, how many? I said, 1. I said, good. I thought you were bluffing me for a minute. Oh, you probably think it's funny me playing cards with a bunch of girls, but I like girls. Yeah. I'd love to get married, but girls don't like me. I wish there was something else you could marry. But I can't help myself. I keep dreaming about girls. Every night I dream I'm in a harem. The sultan brings me a beautiful blonde. But I say no and send her back for a brunette. She comes back with a brunette. Then I wake up. Boy, do I hate myself for not taking that blonde.
My love is soaring, I'm flying high.
is all adoring, my heart is in the sky. The bird that's singing will soon be through, then I'll be winging my song of love to you.
Welcome news to you millions of men who own Eversharp Schick injector razors. Eversharp Schick injector blades are back. Yes, sir. Back after being away to war. Throughout the war years, all the blades we could produce went to our armed forces. But now, once again, they're yours. So start again enjoying the world's finest shave. Enjoy the speed, the comfort, the safety you knew before the war. Get out your Eversharp Schick injector, the razor with the automatic repeater blade chain. The razor that feeds new blades when you need new blades, like a machine gun. Fast as this. Listen. Hear that double click? Just a push, a pull, click, click, and you're ready to shave. With blade automatically locked in the correct shaving position. Eversharp Schick injector blades are double thick, 16% sharper, last three times as long. They're made thick, hollow ground, and honed to superlative keenness. Get a supply of Eversharp Schick injector blades at your dealers tomorrow. They're better than ever, keener than ever. Yet you pay the same economical pre-war price. 20 blades for only 75 cents. If you don't own an Eversharp Schick injector razor, please be patient. Your dealer will have one for you soon. Compare. Comparison proves. Use Eversharp Schick injector for the world's finest shave.
Now, Connie?
Now, Jan.
Oh, goody, goody.
Comes now, culture.
Yes, culture, culture.
We give you an original tone poem conceived... that's right. Yes. Composed and presented now for the first time on any air by Jan Murray.
Yes.
Poet.
That's right.
Novelist.
Uh-huh.
Dramatist. And girdles vulcanized while you wait.
Yes.
Jan?
Music by Jan Murray, age 3. I'm crawling with culture, I love all the arts, and music makes me break out with goose flesh like warts. It thrills me, it sends me, it sets me afire, like a girl sighing blissfully, I love you, Maya. So now I'll relax with my heart palpitation and list to Bob Doyle as he makes with temptation.
You came, I was alone. I should have known you were temptation. You smiled, luring me on. My heart was gone, and you were temptation. It would be thrilling if you were willing, but if it can never be, pity me, for you were born to be kissed. I can't resist, you are temptation. And I am yours. Here is my only a slave to you. Temptation. I'm yours, here's my heart, take it and say we'll never part. I'm just a slave, only a slave.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to meet Ken Roberts.
Yes, Jan.
Who are those people coming into the studio?
Why, look, Jan, it's a guided tour.
Follow me, ladies and gentlemen. Don't shout!
Joe Besser! Say, don't tell me you're a guide.
Why, certainly you're crazy, you. Oh, he's such a crazy.
But what's the idea of barging into the studio?
Well, who are you?
I'm Jan Murray. Those people out there are here to laugh at me.
Oh, you're such a funny.
Fine guide you are. You've only got two people in your party.
Well, when I started out, I had six. But I lost four coming through a tunnel.
Who were the four?
Two blondes and two sailors. Oh, now I get it!
Well, you have no business interrupting this program. I'm going to report you to the head of Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Columbia Broadcasting System? Hey, I'm lost!
What do you mean you're lost?
Well, I'm supposed to show these people through Chinatown.
You don't be you.
Stop, Jan.
Chinatown.
Yeah, Chinatown.
Well, I can tell you how to get there. Go out that side door there. Walk down the west end of the building. Take the east elevator to the third floor. Turn
well,
to the right.
So
walk to the
fast. Be so fast.
Oh, get out of here, will you please? I'm on the air.
You? Who are you?
I told you already. I'm Jan Murray.
Oh, he's such a dumb.
But I am Jan Murray. Everybody in show business knows this face. Look at it. Look at these famous eyes. This nose, this mouth, these ears. This is Jan Murray's face. Now what have you got to say?
If I was Jan Murray, I'd beat your brains out.
But I am Jan Murray. I am. I am. I am Jan Murray, I tell
you. Oh, shut up! He's such a crier.
Please, Besser, leave me alone. Go look for Chinatown.
But I can't find it.
I told you before, when you get off the elevator on the third floor, turn right.
But I tried that before when I came in here. And I think I'm supposed to turn left.
No, right.
No, I should have turned left.
No, you turn right.
Okay, but I'll go through that window again and it hurts.
You can always take a tip from the mail as to what songs top the list every week. Unanimous this week in my mail is the song coming at you right now, Laughing on the Outside.
The crowd sees me out dancing, carefree and romancing, happy with somebody new. I'm laughing on the inside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. They see me night and daytime, having such a gay time. They don't know what I go through. I'm laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. No one knows, it's just a pose, pretending I'm glad we're apart. cry. My eyes are dry. Tears are in my heart. My darling, can't we make up? Ever since our breakup, make-believe is all I do. I'm laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. No one knows, it's just a pose, pretending I'm glad we're apart. And when I cry, my eyes are dry, the tears are in my heart. My darling, can't we make up? Ever since our breakup, make-believe is all I do. I'm laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you.
Now you can get Eversharp Schick injector blades again. They're back on your dealer's counters, back from the war. Eversharp Schick injector blades, the shave preferred by our armed forces the world over. The shave demanded above all others by 7 out of every 10 men in uniform. So start using your Eversharp Schick injector razor again. Enjoy once more the world's finest shave. Get a supply of Eversharp Schick injector blades at your dealer's tomorrow. Better than ever, keener than ever, they're yours at the same pre-war economy price. 20 blades for only 75 cents. If you don't own an Eversharp Schick injector razor, please be patient. Your dealer will have one for you soon. Compare. Comparison proves. Use Eversharp Schick injector for the world's finest shave.
Connie, in our Eversharp Schick Playhouse, no names top the trio of Rogers, Hammerstein, and Kurt.
Unless you add the name Showboat to round it out, Jan.
That's right. And as the show sold out for many moons to come, let's give our listeners a seat on the aisle. A free view of that great show
with Bobby Doyle, Ray Block, the orchestra and chorus.
And don't forget our lovely star, Connie Boswell.
Old man River, that old man River, he bought no stuff, but don't say nothing.
Connie Boswell sings Bill.
But along came Bill, who's not the type at all. You'd meet him on the street and never notice him. His form and face, his mammy grace, are not the kind that you would find in a statue. And I can't explain, it's surely not his brain that makes me thrill. I love him because he's, I don't know, because he's just my.
Why Do I Love You, sung by Bobby Doyle.
Why do I love you? Why do you love me? Why should there be two happy as we?
Can you see the why or wherefore I should be the one you care for? I'm a lucky boy, you are lucky too. All our dreams of joy seem to come true. Maybe that's because you love me. Maybe that's why I love you.
Connie Boswell and Can't Help Loving That Man.
Fish gotta swim and birds gotta fly. I gotta love one man till I die. Can't help loving that man of mine. Now they tell me he's lazy, tell me he's slow, tell me I'm crazy. Well, maybe I know. Can't help loving that man of mine. When he goes away, Lord, that's a rainy, rainy day. When he comes back, that day is fine. The sun will shine. Now he can come home late as can be. Home without him just ain't no home to me. Can't help loving that man of mine.
Tell me he's lazy, tell me he's slow, tell me I'm crazy, well maybe I know.
I can't help
the show.
Right you are, Connie, and thanks for being with us at the Eversharp Chick Playhouse. And we hope you all had fun. And now for you sports fans, here...
Sports? Well, that's what I like, sports.
Why, Jan, you didn't impress me as being the athletic type.
Oh, no. See this car? Football, 1941. See this car?
Uh-huh.
Boxing, 1942. See this car?
Yes?
My girl, last night.
Well, comes now a man who knows where he speaks when he speaks of sports. The Eversharp Chick sports specialist, Ted Husing.
Thank you very much, Ken. The baseball headlines of the week include other news than the standings of the clubs. The Mexican League has hit back at the majors with a legal slap at baseball's famous reserve clause. Opinion is widely divided among baseball experts as to the value of this action, whether it will crumble the mighty baseball dynasty or boomerang it south of the border baseball. Only time will tell. In the pennant races, the Red Sox continue leading the American League, and a close five-way battle is in progress in the National League, with the Dodgers, Cards, Cubs, Braves, and Reds all locked together. And next week's headline may be, Rail Strike, Strikeout, Strikes Out the Ball Clubs. And now the headline interview of the week, with one of the greatest names in horse racing, Earl Sandy.
Thank you, Ted. That was a very nice build-up.
Nice, Earl, but true. Seems to me you were one of the very few jockeys ever to ride three winners in the Kentucky Derby.
Well, that's true, but so did Eddie R. Carroll and Isaac Murphy.
Well, it also seems to me you were one of the very few jockeys to take down the Triple Crown, the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont.
That's right, Ted. That was in 1930. I was fortunate enough to be astride that great horse, Gallant Fox.
Ah, yes, Earl, but you didn't tell that you were pretty badly hurt in an automobile accident Thursday before the Belmont. It was doubtful that you could ride, but you insisted, even though cut about the face, and you rode a front-running race to defeat which won the favorite.
Well, I wanted to win that Triple Crown, Ted. You can't blame me for that.
No, I can't, Earl, but now that you're not riding anymore and you are training, how about some tips on how to successfully train a horse?
Well, I'd say that three things are important in training racehorses.
All right, Earl. Number one.
Patience.
And number two?
More patience.
And number three?
Still more patience.
One, two, three. Well, now that I'm an expert, I'll run out and get myself a stable in the morning. Tell me this, Earl. The distances of the Triple Crown are all different. Are your training methods any different in bringing a horse up to those events?
Well, in the Derby and the Preakness, the distances are practically the same, a mile and a quarter and a mile and 3/16.
Uh-huh.
But it takes a little more training to get a horse ready to go a mile and a half, which is the distance of the Belmont.
Well, speaking of the Belmont, one more question, Earl, a very easy one. As a five-time winner of the Belmont, you ought to know, who's going to win the race on June the 1st?
That's not an easy question, but I'll take a guess.
All right, you guess, Earl. I'll listen.
This is only a guess now.
Uh-huh.
I'll say that Assault has the Indian sign on those other horses.
Okay, Earl. The headline for the Belmont is Sandy Sees Assault Belmont's Best. And thank you, Earl Sandy, for the headline interview of the week.
Thank you.
This is Ken Roberts saying goodbye for our star, Connie Boswell, and for all the rest of us. Jan Murray, Joe Besser, Bobby Doyle, and Ray Block and his ever-sharp Chick Orchestra and Chorus, and Ted Husing. Next week, Ted's guest will be Bill Terry. Join us next week at the ever-sharp Chick Playhouse, and tune in ever-sharp's other great shows, Ann Southern and Maisie Friday nights, and Phil Baker in Take It or Leave It Sunday nights over these same stations. This is Ken Roberts saying goodnight.
Hey, that's all I got time for today. See you next time.